Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. So fired up. SEC football's back. Best time of the year. Firing it up a little early. Chain's not even in here, but I see there's literally dozens of you already in the comments. Why the hell wait for Shane? Let's just get this thing rolling. Maybe let's talk some SEC football. I mean, everybody's happy, I would think, except for Alabama fans and Texas fans. So what, the SEC went 14-2 right off the bat. Man, this is awesome. This is the best time of the year. Everybody, except for Texas. Texas is going to be fine. Everybody but Alabama is probably fine. And hell, even Alabama will probably be fine. Before we get into it, though, as always, shout out presenting sponsor MyBookie. If you ain't already on MyBookie, I don't know what you're doing, because I'm so bad at picking these games. All you got to do is watch a show, listen to the predictions, whatever I say, fade my picks. Go over to MyBookie, online sportsbook, promo code SEC, and what they're willing to do, your initial deposit all the way up to $500, they're willing to, whatever you want to put on a first game, if you win it, you keep all the money, you can cash out, you're done. If you lose it, they will give you your money exactly back, all the way up to five. Like, say you put in $300. If you lose it, they're going to give you $300 right back if you use the promo code SEC at sign up. So you literally can't lose over at MyBookie. Just fade my picks. My lock of the week was Alabama. So, I mean, what more do you need to know? What more do you need to know? And all I need to know is SEC football's back. And there's literally hundreds of you in here, so I appreciate you. Of course, the show's not complete unless we get everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. Hey. What's up, buddy?
Damn, super zoomed in here. My bad. like a damn thumb on your screen.
You're just that fired up. Great week one. Go great. Dogs, is
phenomenal.
Rusty.
It was great. It was absolutely great. Sorry, I didn't know Mike was going to jump on a little early, but they don't call a premature Mike for nothing. Hey, we had an awesome, awesome weekend of SEC football, and it was the perfect finish. Was my lock, my John Mateer lock of the week. I've turned over a new page. I'm 1-0. Had a hell of a week, man. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Went 9-3 on my picks this weekend. So not only are we making money over here, but the SEC looked a little bit better with that win.
Well, you know who's always looking good?
What's that?
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Hey, shout out Stephen Up. Hey, gifted. They hate me. Shout out. They hate me. Welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you, buddy. But hey, how about this? You're talking about your picks.
Yeah.
So I saved this. Shout out Liquid. He's helping me with all this. Here's our updated picks. Now, this doesn't include South Carolina because everybody picked South Carolina. So it really didn't matter if South Carolina won or lost. And they did. Of course they won. But I mean specifically for the pick'ems. Shane won today. You nailed it, buddy. You were 14-2. And I'm in dead last. JR whooped my ass. Steven whooped my ass. And if Steven Up, he's got our email already. If he wants to be the week two celebrity cousin picker, reach out to us, Steven Up. We'd be damn glad to have you make the picks for week two if you want to do it. If you don't, just let me know and we'll go with another cousin. But how's it feel, Shane, to be the most locked in of any? I mean, hell, you're even smarter than the college football encyclopedia.
Yeah, and I mean, it feels nice to be all green, right? Because that's my bank account. usually there's a little more red involved. So absolutely excited, pumped up about that, brother. You know, the putting the money on's fun, but again, it was the SEC. The storyline for me, Mike, was, is the SEC back? And, you know, we had some bumps and bruises along the way. We'll talk about the games here in a second. But I think as an overall landscape of this conference, I'm feeling a lot better about these teams this year than I did this time last year.
Well, shout out Emily. Shane, she gave us $5. What a weekend.
Hey, thanks, cuz.
Auburn won. Bama lost. Feels good as Auburn win. Arch is overrated. And Nico sucked at UCLA.
How about this, War Dam? I mean, these great Auburn fans are feeling it, as yes. they should, Shane. Hugh Freeze better than Kalen DeBoer?
Oh! my favorite was Gus Malzahn trolling. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah.
No, and Bruce Pearl tweeted it. So Gus Malzahn running over them Alabama Crimson Tide. So,
hey, last one, then we'll get into it, Shane. We got a lot of games here. Shrin, shout out. Shrin gave us $10. Complete shit weekend for me. Texas dropped the ball. The Cubs lost. Barcelona just dropped points and played like complete crap. Drowning my sorrows in
Modelo.
Modelo. I mean, that's a good beer right there. So he's living it right. You know what?
Oh, yeah. I was too upset about the Barcelona point droppage.
Well, let's get into the game that just happened, just because it's fresh on our minds here, Shane. Yeah. South Carolina defends the SEC's honor, beats Virginia Tech 24-11. And, yeah, it was a little sloppy, no doubt. It was a little sloppy, but Carolina came out here first possession, Shane, went right up and down the damn field, looked like $1 million, looked like it was going to be a blowout, and then it took them about four quarters to score another touchdown, but it didn't even matter, Shane, it didn't matter, because our defense is locked in, and Virginia Tech, here's their drive chart, Virginia Tech did not score a single touchdown in the game, they had three field goals and a safety, Sellers, again, up and down, but you give me a week one victory over a qualified power opponent, Shane.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of lessons here for South Carolina to win from, to take away from the win. Sellers was 12 of 19, 209 yards, one passing touchdown, which was a bomb, one rushing touchdown, which he looked like damn the juggernaut. And shout out for Kari Swain, 80-yard touchdown punt return really broke this thing open. How about this, Shane? That was the first punt return touchdown the Gamecocks have had since 2013.
Yeah.
And that won them the damn game, didn't it?
It did. It did. And I will say this, just I guess like a lot of teams that we're going to be talking about today, the theme was a slow start, right? Some of them did. Some SEC teams never got it going, but it felt like late in the third, first of the fourth, South Carolina finally got to stretch their legs, and you got to see why we were excited about this program coming into 2025. Did Lenoris have the best game ever? No, absolutely not. But what quarterback did? I mean, short of playing, you know, some damn school of the blind, you know, I never felt like there was a competitive quarterback. Well, maybe one. We'll get to him here in a second. That really shown us why he could be a Heisman candidate. And Lenoris had some plays in here, brother. That first drive alone, I was ready to crown him. And then it was like, here we are. It took two quarters, but we finally got a little Beamer ball action. And it felt like that opened up the gates.
Sellers the Heisman frontrunner now?
I don't know if he's the front runner, but he's still on the short list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I think I know who the front runner is, Shane. And it's I was going to tease it, but I'll just freaking say it. I think it's old Florida State boy Thomas Castellanos right now. For all the shit he talked and then backed it up, which we'll get to, but I mean, you can't deny that man.
Well, I mean, I just hate that was the team they had to play from the Southeastern Conference. But you are right. And that's what Heisman is, right? It's almost typically an overreaction.
It's like, hot right now?
Yeah. And so it's hot. That's what's streaming right now. That's what's, on our live feeds everywhere. So, yeah.
But I do have a candidate from the SEC, Shane, that I think is the – right now he'd get my vote out of the SEC.
Who? Aguilar?
I'm on the Nussbus, baby. Come on, went on down to Clemson. Whooped ass. LSU can't win an opener. Bullshit, they said. We whooped Clemson's ass 17-10 on the road. And yes, Nussmeier looked fantastic. 74% completion, 230 passing yards. But really, Shane, we could sit here and say every nice thing about old Nuss. Mm-hmm. It was his damn defense, brother. Defense won a day for them LSU Tigers on the road. Clemson averaged only 1.6 yards per rush. LSU lost the turnover battle, yet controlled this damn game. And you know how rare it is, Shane, to go on the road in a hostile environment, night game, top 10 opponent, and lose the turnover battle and still not even, I mean, it was a contest,
but only because they stole us a touchdown. We had a touchdown taken off the board. Yeah. This really should have been a 2-touchdown game. Clemson's now lost 4 in a row to the SEC. How about it, buddy? Each team's had 11 drives. LSU had 3 scores. Clemson had 2. And again, really, LSU had 4 scores, but they just took one off the damn board because they're damn cheaters down there.
Well, I tell you right now, not to disagree with your power rankings, but the hottest team in the country right now is the LSU Tigers. And for me, Mike, it was going on the road to Death Valley, playing a football team with all that returning talent. I mean, this isn't an Ohio State 2.0 where they've got, you know, a whole bunch of new kids from the transfer portal. This is a football team that was pretty much intact last year. That's why they were so high on these boys. And you go in there, and I tell you what, some of the best defense I've ever seen from LSU since the 90s. You know, it just felt like we kind of got back to our roots here a little bit. It was impressive. You are correct. They did steal a touchdown from our LSU Tigers here. But, man, hot football team. And this one right here, I'm telling you, I said in the offseason, could be a playoff, could be a national championship contender. I think they backed that up today.
Now why'd you bring the power rankings into this?
Well, I probably shouldn't have. Was LSU up there? I'm sure they were.
Number one in the power rankings, Shane. So LSU Tigers, they've got the best win, I think, in the entire season, going to Clemson, beating a top 10 team. And again, this potentially changes the entire narrative. Well, not for their fans, but for people like me that were discounting them to where if you can win on the road at Clemson, hell, Alabama, Alabama looks very beatable at current moment. Ole Miss, you know, again, we got plenty of time to preview that, but at Ole Miss will be difficult, at Oklahoma, but you got to favor LSU, I would think, in every one of their home games, not guaranteeing that they win them all, but if they do, I think LSU now we can say, I don't want to say lock for the playoff, but they got the inside track to it.
Well, you know who's my lock right here? MIZFKU forever gifting a membership. This membership goes to Dobby is Good Elf. Dobby, welcome to the family, courtesy of MIZFKU.
Do you agree with me, though?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You can't say anything. You can't be positive enough about this program right now, brother. And what else I'm encouraged by was I felt like this offense really started to come alive in that second half. Mm-hmm. And look at this schedule. We'll get to Florida. That week will come. But there is some real opportunities. All 3 games, next game's at home, for LSU to really get this thing rolling, get this thing dialed in before they start getting into the meat of their schedule. I tell you what, LSU, they really did surprise me.
Well, you know who else surprised me, Shane?
Who's that?
Texas. Texas surprised me. Damn, what the hell was it? Remember what I was saying, oh, Heisman? Well, I made a graph for Arch here, too. 57% completion percentage, 170 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I don't know if anybody has seen it. I retweeted it, but Fox Sports, you know, they covered the game, and they did every throw Arch had, and it just, again, that doesn't tell the complete story of the whole game, but it didn't make him look very good because most of the throws were, you know, could have been made, should have been made, what have you. The interception was awful. But, man, first time Texas was ever preseason number one, first time in their history, Shane. They're also the first number one to lose in the opener in 35 years. So Texas only score came with 4 minutes left in the game. Texas got outrushed Texas outrushed Ohio State 166-34. So this is kind of a weird one, Shane, where Texas defense did their part, but the offense did nothing really in red zones, which was something that has haunted Texas here lately, continues 0-2 in the red zone. That's how you lose games like this. I do like the fact Sarkisian went for it on 5 fourth downs. Problem is, Shane, he only got one of them. So you could go for as many damn fourth downs as you want, but if you ain't getting them, it's a little bit of a problem.
Well, and I feel like we're all at that point because this thing was built so high. because Arch Manning was built so high, it felt like either even if he won this game, I felt like it needed to be an extreme win for us to look back and say, hey, they were right. They were right. This is the guy. I swear, Mike, if they started out with San Jose, if they started out with UTEP, Sam Houston, the Arch Mania would still be rolling right now because they're going to absolutely destroy these next three teams. And then going into that Ohio State, maybe, just maybe, Mike, we would have got a different outlook. You know, I'm just saying, this is a classic overreaction. That's what we do. Of course, we love to pick on Texas, right? We love to point and poke them when they're doing bad. I've some of the greatest content came from this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you take a step back and you reanalyze the game, you say, hey, man, we went to the shoe. We blew two opportunities in the red zone. You know, we were a little off. Yes, I felt like Arch and Wingo and some of these receivers, they were off. Well, that's what happens when we don't have contact in the offseason. It's almost like this was a preseason game, it kind of felt like. And then I think if we revisit this, if these two teams meet again, I can't tell you that Ohio State's going to win the game. I still would put all my money on the Texas Longhorns. Hell, ESPN, they still have them in the first spot, even though they lost. So that's just kind of how I view this one.
So Saturday didn't change your opinion at all about any of these conference games they got upcoming?
No, I thought Georgia's still the toughest game on their schedule. Mm-hmm. I feel like other than that, Florida, they should win every single game.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
A&M, buddy. Arkansas still scoring, buddy.
We're going to get to eight. There's a few of these I'm still a little worried about, even though they got to win, you know?
Okay. Well, hey, one more bad one we got to get through here because it was just such a shocker, Shane. Shout out Gus Malzahn at Florida State. I mean, my word, I literally never saw this coming. This was my lock of the week. Could not have been more wrong. Bama got outrushed 230-87. That's pitiful. That should never happen, Shane. This was the fewest rushing yards Alabama's had in an opener since 1975. Good.
Jeez.
Night. Ty Simpson, 23 of 43, 254 yards, two touchdowns. You know, I didn't even think Ty Simpson, I didn't think he was like awful.
Yeah.
Clearly wasn't good enough, but I don't think necessarily that was the problem. I think the problem was the defense. Defense looked slow. Defense didn't look tough. They were letting Florida State and this little tiny quarterback, looks like Doug Flutie 2.0, you know, go all over him, do whatever the hell he wanted. And then the monsoon hit, and, man, you just got outclassed by Gus Malzahn and this vaunted offensive line that we kept hearing about. I mean, they can't block to save their damn lives, and I don't know how that gets fixed overnight or anything. Do you?
No, I think that was the most discouraging part is because I thought this offensive line was going to be back. You know, I thought this was going to be their bread and butter, is getting back to the running game, being physical in the trenches, and they just flat out got their asses handed to them. And you know, I don't think Ty had a great game. And in fact, some of these pressures may have been the fact that he just was always looking to escape the pocket for some reason. But yeah, the biggest surprise for me was just how physical Florida State was. And we said this on the show. I felt like there was some give up in this team. I've seen some damn videos of kids just basically jogging on this football field. You know, it feels like the culture has changed clearly in Alabama and the expectations aren't the same. And what's wild to me is that Alabama football team, you know, it still strikes fear in some of us old farts that went, you know, 15, 20 years, you know, dealing with getting their asses handed to them. Now it's like, it's chinked, you know, it's like all of a sudden they don't seem as intimidating, and that's just going to hurt them moving forward.
Question of the night. I saw it from Brodo, Shane.
Yeah.
Who gets fired first, DeBoer or Napier?
DeBoer right now. Yeah. I think they're going to keep Napier forever. If he keeps beating these sharks like that, yeah, I think that's, I think there's no reason to get rid of them. Shout out to Cousin M.I.Z. with another membership. This one goes to Ram. Ram, welcome to the family. Courtesy of M.I.Z.F.K.U.
Shane, when do we start getting worried, though? Because I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if you've seen this stat. Bama is 4-5 against Power 5 or Power 4 opponents, whatever you want to say, since the Vanderbilt game of last year. They have a losing record in their last nine. I mean, are we at the panic point? Are we beyond it? Where are we at here?
I heard that, and that one really surprised me. That many losses in a row away from Tuscaloosa.
Because, this is like, no offense to anybody if this is your team, but this is like, damn, Jeremy Pruitt stats. This is like, well, Bill Napier's turning around, so I can't say that anymore. But Hugh Freeze stats, whoever's doing a shitty job, these are the statistics that you hear. 4-5 in the last nine, I guess, Power 4 opponents. That's awful.
And I'm worried. The main thing I'm worried about this team, Mike, is I didn't see light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I always look for a little bit of positive news, a little optimism from a game, even if it's a loss. But I did not see it with Alabama. I felt like these were two football teams, JV and varsity, going against each other for some damn reason. Alabama was not the superior opponent here. And that kind of surprised me. But it worries me about the future because how much give up's in this locker room? How many games are we going to get to and say, well, shit, you know, we lost this one. Let's just pack it up and we're just – We can't have that. And the most fiery I've ever seen Kalen DeBoer was after this game. Does that work its way back into that locker room? I don't know. Is it too far gone? You know, I look at Alabama's schedule and I look at what we used to say wins, losses, tosses. And now I'm changing some of these losses to tosses. I'm switching some of these tosses to losses right now just based on what I saw week one. And I know it's a typical overreaction, but Alabama got their ass handed to them. And I think Kalen DeBoer's in for a long, long football season right now.
Biggest winner from that game, Shane?
Yeah.
Paul Feinbaum. That's gonna be a fun one on Monday. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh boy, he's gonna be loaded up, brother. Hey, shout out to Cousin VFL for gifting a membership. The VFL sent it to. I missed this one. This went to Grandmaster. Grandmaster, welcome to the family. Courtesy of VFL Smokey.
Well, speaking of Smokey, speaking of winners, Shane. How about that ball, Shane? 45-26 over Syracuse. And really, who are we kidding, Shane? It wasn't even this close, was it? Because they got Joey Swagular back here slinging the damn rock. 16-28 for 247 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, including a 73-yard bomb to Braylon Staley, that really kind of bust this game wide open. Tennessee outrushed Syracuse 246-103. Tennessee averaged 6.2 yards per carry. Star Thomas, 92 yards. Deshaun Bishop, 82 yards. Peyton Lewis, 38. Vols scored, Shane, on half of their drives. Defense scored a touchdown, too. And, man, but this was, again, this wasn't even their best game, I didn't think. Yet they executed in the red zone, 5-for-5. They were 7-of-12 on third downs. With the one caveat here, Syracuse also 4-for-5 in the red zone. So you'd like to see that cleaned up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But shout out this Tennessee defense, Shane. 5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss. They scored on a scoop and score. And then Vols, Shane. They're looking pretty damn good. A lot of haters out there. Where are the haters at? They're gone.
Oh, that defense like an eraser, isn't it? Just fixes all the problems the offense gets them into, which was nice to see. Offensive efficiency, man. I can't say this enough. We made out so well on that trade, did we not? I'm watching Nico struggle his ass off over in UCLA land, and then we're over here with Aguilar, a quarterback that's not afraid to run, a quarterback that can throw downfield, that has the ability to make progress. That's what I saw. And even he came out. Of course, he is a grown-ass man. He came out the end of this thing and said, you know, he wanted to get excited, but he says, we got to get back there. We got to clean up the mistakes that we made, and we got to focus on the next game. I mean, that's just, he's saying, he's looking, he's acting like a captain. It was so nice to see a downfield presence back with them Tennessee Volunteers, and it has changed, Mike. You know, I was one of those that this could be a fringe playoff team. No, this is a playoff team. Based off that schedule, we're all the way back, baby.
What's your confidence level that they can compete with Georgia now?
Georgia's a tough one, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to get to them here in a second. I felt like they were absolutely awesome. I feel like if Georgia was a little bit later in the year, I'd feel better about this one. But going into it, obviously the Dogs are still going to be favorites. But, you know, there's always part of you, especially if you're a fan, you're just like, well, this could be the year. You know, if Aguilar plays like that.
But any additional confidence or just the same?
No, additional. That was our problem going into this one was, for starters, competitive depth. We had a lot of guys get injured in here. Mm-hmm. You hate seeing that. But you also saw progress. And I saw a team that looked better and better. That running game didn't miss a beat. Now that Samson's gone, this is a three-headed monster now. So I feel like I was telling you on the show when we were talking about this, I feel like Tennessee's offense took about three or four steps forward. Their defense did take maybe a step or two back, but I think that can be corrected. There's a lot of young kids out there, very talented young talent. But, yeah, I feel a lot better about that Tennessee-Georgia game now.
Well, Shane, I screwed up. There's so many games.
Yeah.
The one I just realized I didn't do the stats for is Georgia. But here they are anyway, Shane. Get them Dogs in here. 45-7, Georgia. I mean, they just went roughshod on him, Shane. I thought Gunnar Stockton looked a little shaky at first, but he rebounded and came on very strong, Shane. 14-24, 190 yards, two passing touchdowns. He also led the Dog, Shane, in rushing with 73 yards and another two scores. So four touchdowns in total for Gunnar Stockton. Zachariah Branch looked like $1 million, Shane. 95 mm-hmm. receiving yards on just three catches, including 89 after the catch. So a lot of yaks for old Zachariah. The Dogs had six tackles for loss, outrushed Marshall, Shane, 239-78, took care of business, absolutely walloped Marshall. And, you know, I was kind of kidding before about Finebaum being the biggest winner. It may be Georgia, because, again, we don't think Texas is, like, fading into oblivion or anything. Mm-hmm. But we see all these cousins, and I think they're right to do it, Shane, but they're like, SEC's wide open. If I'm Kirby, I'm like, oh, shit, it is. It's just this just means it's ours. You know what I mean? Which, hell, it was last year anyway. But I think the Dogs were big, huge winners on Saturday.
This is the team I wish was playing Florida State, you know, because it would have been all over the locker room if they would have had shit talking going on and Georgia would have went down there. And I felt like this team may be one of the most physical teams that we are going to see this year, including Gunner, man. I was very surprised with not only just how mobile he was, but just how athletic he moved. He was I don't know, man, I'm doing a show, little preview, Wednesday on the SEC Hangover, and I'm revisiting quarterback rankings, and I'm telling you right now, Gunner is one of those guys that may be moving up the most on this list now that we reevaluated what they're doing there in Georgia.
That dog, Shane. Dog's looking good, don't they?
I'm buying it, son.
Well, how about...
Real quick, before we get going, what else am I buying? Coach Byron gifted five memberships, five lucky participants. We've got Fisherman, Gatlin Bivens, Georgia Girl 91, Luke Hensley, and Jaha. This is, you've been gifted membership by Coach Byron, so welcome to the family.
Yeah.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Coach. You know who else is coaching him up, Shane?
Who's that?
Coach Elko. Come on, Shane. Take care of UTSA 42-24. This was not a pretty one by any means. Slow start on offense for the Aggies, Shane. They kind of crept into this one. Shout out Casey Concepcion, though. He's everything they said he was. Scored on an 80-yard touchdown return. Three catches, 72 yards, another touchdown. Mario Craver also 8 catches, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. But at one point, Shane, this was a close, close game. Early in the third, UTSA busted for a 75-yard touchdown run, made it a one-score game. It was 21-17 in the third, but then A&M did not allow UTSA a first down on the next 6 drives. So the defense really clamped down. Marcel Reed, he had himself a hell of a day overall with 289 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. He also led the team in rushing with 39 yards. But the fact that he led us is a little concerning in rushing, given the offensive line, given the returning running backs we had. UTSA outrushed us 203 to 108. That's a huge, huge red flag for me. And another thing that was just kind of interesting, Shane.
Yeah.
Here's the A&M drive chart. They basically went 3 and out or explosive play touchdown on every drive. Like literally every, right. it was a 3 and out or it was an explosive play and they scored. So again, yeah, they won the game. They controlled it for the most part, but at least we do have the explosive plays, but we got to get a little bit more consistency. We got to be able to run the ball. If we can't run the ball on UTSA, we got real, real problems when this SEC slate comes around. So it's not doom and gloom by any means. We still got 2 more non-conference games, but if we can't run the ball on Notre Dame, we're getting our ass beat in South Bend.
Well, yes. And I do wonder, what was that about? Was that more about getting these young receivers, you know, more acclimated with Marcel Reed, knowing that they could just win this football game? I guess that's the optimistic twist to this. I was a little discouraged by, like you said, the rushing, my quarterback leading it, and he didn't even have 40 yards. I really thought we could have 3 100-yard rushers in this game. So very surprised with how that happened. And the defense got a little leaky there, you know? Seems like that was a popular word used this weekend when we were talking about offensive line and defensive backs, and I felt like that's kind of what we had. So, yes, they're... Again, we walked away with the win, and I felt like we did learn a little bit more. I do love these guys. I mentioned Craver. I mentioned Concepcion. What an addition. We may get to the end of the year, and we may have some list talking about which was the most impactful transfers. Those, I'm right now, if we were doing it, are toward the top. So there was a lot of positive, but there is definitely a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Most of that could be done with film, but yeah, I'm feeling better about A&M.
And I don't know about you, Shane, but in years past, if we are 21-17 early in the third quarter with UTSA,
yeah,
I think under Jimbo, I would have been nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, things could have went sideways on us. I mean, hell, we've seen it with lesser competition. So the fact that it didn't faze them, the fact that they kind of locked them in, the fact that it was a very competitive game early in the second half. Again, it was, you know, silver linings, but it is a silver lining, I guess, you know, the fact that they dominated the second half after allowing UTSA to almost take the lead.
Yeah, you know, we won't talk about that. Let's just talk about the final score.
All right, well, hey, speaking of final score, Shane, how about them Bulldogs, Shane? Big win here, 34 on the road, 17 Southern Miss. Mississippi State gets a nice win here. And now, is this a nice win for majority of SEC? No, but hell, we all know Mississippi State struggled mightily last year. They scored on half of their drives, which that's kind of to be expected. Mm-hmm. If we're Mississippi State, we got to bow up a little bit on defense because Southern Miss, they made it interesting there right before halftime. But again, the SEC talent won out, Shane. 10 different receivers caught a pass for Mississippi State. 4 different rushers had 20 or more rushing yards. Mississippi State 4 for 4 in the red zone and 11 of 17 on third down. So this is what I want to see from Mississippi State. Offense got to lead the way. Defense take some baby steps and just avoid disaster. Because the first possession, Shane, we came right out, huge touchdown. You're thinking, okay, State's going to roll. State's back. Lebby knows what he's doing. And then it was a slog there for a little bit. A lot of penalties. Offensive and defensive line, still a work in progress, but a young team like this, a young coaching staff, desperately, desperately needed this win for their confidence, I think.
Yeah, very ugly. I'm glad you mentioned the penalties. I think they had 117 yards, 120 yards penalties in this one. It was rather sloppy at times and very tough watch. I thought this was going to be the best game. You know, I guess that was my biggest miss is thinking that this was going to be an absolute great game to watch offense up and down the field. But I will say this, you got the win. It was sloppy. There were some mistakes. There's a lot of new kids on this roster. And so you're trying to build that chemistry. I feel like Mississippi State's going to be all right, but it does ramp up really quick. You know, going into, let me ask you this, and we'll get more into next week game previews later in the week, but Are you feeling a little better about this Arizona State game or a little worse after this week one?
About the same. I'm not really judging State till we see them play Arizona, you know?
I got you. But then we're going to judge the shit out of them, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Just hey, like
shout out to Cousin Shen. Yeah. All of us at San Antonio are extremely proud of UTSA team coming such a long way in not so long time, regardless of who our team is. No matter what, you got to leave some love for the homers. And I saw that. I saw Billy Lucci giving a shout out. So apparently they're all rooting for these guys to do well. So that's awesome. I don't know if you've ever been to San Antonio. Pretty cool area. The River Walk, you know. I don't know if you've ever done that. But, no. Yeah, looking forward to – oh, shit, we did miss one here. Where's – okay, I'll let you keep going, Mike. Sorry.
All right, and then another one, Shane, that desperately needed a win here, and they got it. Thank goodness. Otherwise, this would be a damn panic over here. Kentucky beat Toledo 24-16. And, yeah, you could look at this final score and say, well, I don't know. It was a little close, wasn't it, Mike? No, sir. Toledo didn't score until the fourth quarter, Shane. Now, also, who didn't really score? Zach Calzada, 10 of 23. He had 85 passing yards, no touchdowns, a pick. He did have 14 rushing yards in a – he did rush for a touchdown. But this is what I was telling you, Shane. Kentucky got to get back to the ground. Mm-hmm. We dominated Toledo 220-59 in a rushing attack. Dante Dowell, he had 129 rushing yards. Seth McGowan had 78 rushing yards. So again, it was very sloppy. This is Mark Stoops style. What Billy Napier's, you know, his DNA, that's what Stoops wants to be as well. Run the football, score occasionally, and just play good defense. And that's what they did. Again, look, Toledo didn't score till 10 minutes left in the ball game, and then they scored right before the end of the game to make it look a little competitive. But again, this was a nice win for Kentucky. It was an ugly win, but you get out. You move on. Now you're at the Ole Miss here, and you're hosting Ole Miss. Yes, we're going to get to the spread here in a little bit. You are an underdog as expected, but, buddy, you beat Ole Miss. You turned the narrative around of this whole damn season. So I think this was mission accomplished for me for Kentucky.
Yes, that's it. This is the what he talks about. Grab your lunch pail, go to work, walk away with the win. Was it pretty? Absolutely not. This may have been the least exciting football game that we saw. You know, it's good to see Calzada out there. It just wasn't good to see him throw for 80 yards, you know? And you mentioned the rushing game. If you take that one long run out, there's a lot of carries for just 50. So it was not what you would say. I understand why SEC showed this like at the very end of their recap show, you know, and probably why we're talking about it toward the end as well. But I will say this, it was a win. This was a team that a lot of folks were worried about pulling off an upset. You know, Coach Stoops has got his back against the wall. I learned a lot of things, man. We're doing a lot of, Coach Stoops has gone through some shit here the last couple of years, didn't realize it, you know, so it just feels kind of good that team coming together. You know, no one's ever going to pick them to win anything, right? Mm-hmm. And if they keep walking away with wins, I feel like this is by the end of the year going to be a galvanized program that may help them launch into future years with better success. So I just feel like this is a rebuild, but they did well coming out with a win.
Well, you said no one will pick them. Roush will pick them.
Roush will pick them. Yeah,
that's about it, though.
That's a good. You know who I'd pick? Cousin JR. He's been down here for a while. Thank you, Cousin JR. Always showing up. Gifted Ice Wrath, welcome to the family. Courtesy.
Cousin JR has done it again.
And while we got that going, Mike, we got a few more here. Cox got to do some work. Wolfgang Alpha, good Lord, you guys are awesome. So glad I found you. What an awesome image. Thank you, Wolfgang. Love your cooking shows. And this one here, Firefly Funhouse Gaming, has gifted a membership. This one's going to be going to Ron Robinson. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of Firefly Funhouse Gaming. That sounds like a cool place to hang out.
You know who else is a cool place to hang out, Shane?
Who's that?
Fayetteville.
Come on, Shane. They kick that ass. Alabama. A&M. 52-7, Shane. Arkansas scored on 8 of their first 9 drives. Mm-hmm. Now, Alabama A&M, they did score a 75-yard drive of first possession, but they did score again. That's the more important part, Shane. I was worried as hell when they came out and tied it up. But you know who's not got me worried, Shane? And that's Talen Green with his 6 touchdowns, 322 yards. He was efficient as hell. Arkansas outrushed Bama A&M 194-69. Nice. Omega Blake had 7 catches, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Arkansas 9-14 on third down and a perfect 5-for-5 in the red zone. Again, is this a win we're going to be talking about all the season? Mm-hmm. No. But this is what you got to do. You got to get that ball rolling. You know, you got to carry it over to Arkansas State. And then we can shock the world week 3. But you just went here, took care of business. Nobody's going to respect this outside of your fan base. Well, that's perfect. No one respects you anyway. It's just, you just pick up your lunch pail, get back to work, pick up your bowling ball, as Sam Pittman would, and go out there, get back to work, because you did exactly what you had to do.
God, Talen Green looked great, didn't he? He looked great. I was so happy that we had him high on our QB rankings. You know, this is a guy that did exactly what we thought he was going to do, and that was dominate a less opponent. But, you know, like you said, they're going to have another one of these games next week, whoop up on Boots Jones' ass, and then going into Ole Miss, I'm feeling better about that game. If you're talking about shocking the world, shocking the Southeastern Conference, you play like you did this Saturday, and Ole Miss plays like we're about to talk about, I'm liking the odds for Arkansas to kind of show that they haven't gone anywhere. Talen Green, phenomenal perform. I mean, it blew my mind. Another performance. Jeez, I can't even say freaking words today. Goes to Shin. Shin, thank you, cuz. Let me just get read names. Jesse Browning, Ranger Ernsey, Nishalia, Only Tennessee, and Josh, welcome to the family. Courtesy of Shin. Schwing.
David, I just realized I guess some of these didn't load up, but I'm glad you mentioned Ole Miss here.
Somebody said I'm high.
Got Did you some of that cornbread?
Cornbread. Yeah, I got an order apparently coming to me they sent. So
me too. I was like, I didn't order this, but all right, I'll take it.
I thought you'd keep ordering it.
But I'll tell you what I did order, Shane.
What's that?
A win for Ole Miss. Come on. Kick Georgia State's ass 63-7. Shout out Austin Simmons, Shane. 341 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Did have 2 picks. But Kywin Lacy, Shane, our debut running back, he had 108 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. Logan Diggs, 91 rushing yards and a touchdown. Ole Miss smoked him, took care of business, Shane. And aside from the 2 interceptions, scored on 12. They had 14 possessions. They scored 10 times, and most of those were touchdowns. They really only had 1 breakdown on defense. This was an epic performance, and this is one of those where, like, you know, we're always concerned about Georgia State, right?
Yes.
Ole Miss said, hell with that. We're going to stomp their ass and do it quickly, and they took care of business. Ole Miss looks like there's no drop-off, like they could be right back into the conversation for the playoff all season long.
To me, Mike, it always feels like we're trying to guess what Ole Miss theme will be this year. Will it be more of a passing team, more of a rushing team? But I think what we're losing here is that the defense did not go anywhere. This was a dominant performance by them. I think they held – you got that stat line? I think they held that kid from throwing for, I think it's 60 yards, something like that. I mean, it's again, it's Georgia State. We're not
– 52.
Yeah, see, we're not having a parade or anything for that performance, but that's the most impressive stat line to me is the fact that they made this team one dimensional. It's basically can Ole Miss score on this drive? If not, they'll get it back in three plays.
Right, and they look razor sharp going to Kentucky.
Yeah,
and that will be an opportunity, Shane, to kind of exercise some demons. Because, hell, they looked pretty sharp going to, you know, playing Kentucky last year. We all know what happened. But get ready to hear that 1,000 times, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't say they had a shot last year either. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
The first conference game of the season, I believe South Carolina. It was South Carolina-Kentucky last year was the first conference game of the season. And it was kind of the role reversal where, hell, South Carolina don't have a shot in hell to beat Kentucky. Maybe they can reverse it. I don't know. We'll have all the time in the world to talk about it, but can't wait for that one. You know what?
No, I can't either. That just because of the shit talking prior to, you know, somebody caught a video of Lane Kiffin playing pickleball 3 hours before kickoff. So I don't know if that's true or not, but I was like, hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Lane. Keep doing you.
All right, and then how about Oklahoma, Shane, took care of Illinois State 35-3. Only problem, Shane, they couldn't really run the football for whatever reason. Illinois State outrushed us 117-103, but you know why I ain't worried, Shane?
Why ain't you worried?
Because of Joe Mateer. Come on, he leads the SEC in passing right now, Shane. 392 yards, 3 touchdowns, did have a pick, but Oklahoma scored on 5 of 11 drives, only 4 of 10 on third down. We got to get that cleaned up. We did also have 2 turnovers, which is not great against this caliber of opponent, but clearly did not affect the final score. Oklahoma averaged over 13 yards per pass completion, which is a nice sign there, because last year, I mean, there was no such thing as an explosive play in the Oklahoma offense. We're getting it back this year. Looked sharp after a little bit of a slow start. First, I mean, you play one of these games, you know, we wait so long, Shane, we're like, all right, is it going to take 4 plays or 5 plays to score a touchdown? Well, unfortunately, it took a couple drives. But after they got it rolling, it was like the snowball came downhill, and Illinois State never stood a chance. I still think that Oklahoma kept this thing vanilla because they got College Game Day coming to town, Shane, Michigan, week 2. That's going to be an epic, epic game. But, again, maybe not as pretty as we were hoping for, but this is kind of exactly what I expected.
It was. And, again, it felt like this is a prime example of Mateer. Let's get him acclimated with the receivers, right? Because I was surprised the running game just kind of went away. It was good to see him get out there and run around and do exactly what we thought he was going to do for these Sooners. But, you know, I don't know about you. I didn't quite get the warm fuzzies, like, you know, maybe it's that Arch Manning, you know, we kind of build these kids up and we build them up. And it felt like maybe it's a little more laid back. Maybe they held him back. I don't know what I'm saying, but, as far as efficiency, the kid's got it. He's got a damn arm. At least they're moving the football. And the defense, shit, man, they didn't miss a beat, did they?
They did not. And speaking of not missing a beat, Shane, how about them boys down there in the swamp, Shane? 55-0, Florida beats Long Island. How about this, Shane? Every possession Long Island had?
Yeah.
It was either a 3-and-out or a turnover. So, I mean, this was not a quality opponent by any means, but hey, this is what you're supposed to do when you face a team like this. So, shout out DJ Lagway, 15 of 18, very efficient, 120 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jaden Baugh, 104 yards and a touchdown. The walk-on Rubio, he's the son of the government dude. He was the second leading rusher, to let you know what kind of opponent this was. Walk-on was number 2. Defense scored a touchdown. In the red zone, we went 7 of 8 for 45 yards. One of our receivers had the damn catch of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, this was efficient. Get to the next game, make easy work of them. All the kids played in this one, basically, is the moral of the story.
They did. They did. And there was a lot of star power out there. I really like some of these young kids emerging. What was it? RB3. This guy came from nowhere making a dang OBJ catched out there. DJ came out here, looked good, looked efficient, got the hell out of that football game, you know, and that's exactly what we wanted. But more importantly, I told you coming into this one, the storyline will be that defense. That's exactly the story. I mean, they had two first downs given up in this entire football game. So real quick, cuz, I'm going to give a shout out to a cousin, M-I-Z. Shout out to the legend, gone too soon, Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, and my father, Wayne Birch. Love you, big guy, M-I-Z. Oh, wow. As you guys know, Ben Arnett also passed away. So I want to give a shout out to the cuz, thinking about you, brother, and sorry for your loss. Sorry for the community, because Ben, too, was, I mean, you know it. As soon as something like that happens, just the reactions that you see online, clearly Arnett's touched a lot of folks. So thoughts and prayers for those families, including yours, M-I-Z.
Yep. All right, Shane. I know, man, there's so many cupcakes. It was kind of disappointing. But you know who really enjoyed these cupcakes, Shane?
Who's that?
Pavia. Come on, man. 45-3 beat Charleston Southern. Pavia, 20 of 25, 275 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Vanderbilt scored on their first three drives. Charleston Southern, Shane, they kicked a field goal to close the game. That was basically the story for the. I mean, who kicks a field goal down 45-0? I don't know, but old Charleston did. But again, very efficient. Vanderbilt, this is what you should be doing. Outrushed Charleston 201-47. And then Vanderbilt 24 first downs to just 7 for old Charleston. I think the biggest news out of this one, Shane, I don't know if you saw it. I've retweeted it. Probably shouldn't even mention it because I don't know if it's real or not. But maybe I'll just say Pavia's family apparently had a lot of fun after this game. Maybe you Google that to find out what happened. Nah, was kind of the biggest story from this one.
No, yeah, they did. I think I saw the crime beat there, a couple of them. But on the field action, I will say Pavia looked pretty damn good, didn't he? Yeah. And again, I know you're talking. I hate when we say this, like, yeah, look who they're playing. If you actually watch the game, there were some damn throws out here that were impressive for me, because I thought Pavia at times last year had trouble with some of the throws and completions I saw in this game. So. Now, saying Vanderbilt's going to, you know, win a natty, but I'm saying they still have not lost the ability to win every game on their schedule. And you got to come prepared. You're going to play them Commodores, that's for sure.
Right. And then, you know, I didn't know if we wanted to hit on these or not. We did the live watch shows and everything. But, of course, Missouri, 61-6. Any takeaways that we haven't shared already?
Not that we haven't shared. I mean, well, maybe some of the injuries. We lost our kicker.
Yeah.
But I think you said we've got a new kid coming mm-hmm. in. So
yeah, apparently they can hit the free agency now. Already getting a kicker in from Northwest Oklahoma State or something crazy, a school I never even heard of. But the fact that they're bringing someone in, not a good sign. But well, it's a sign that at least they're being proactive here.
Yeah, I tell you what. One thing, because this game feels like it's so long ago, uh-huh. 4 days in a row of SEC football is pretty damn nice, isn't it? Oh, boy, they definitely waited for us. So it's been an awesome, awesome weekend. A lot of great, great football. And I guess the big one for me, Mike, is don't panic. Right. I feel like you watched this game. Even if your team won, there's some moments in here you're like, shit. Our offensive line sucks, or our kicking game sucks, or our quarterback sucks, or something like that. There's going to be some of that during these first few weeks, but I really do feel like if this is as worse as this gets for these SEC teams, I feel like by the time we get to late September, first of October, we're going to see monumental steps. So don't panic. This is a 12-team playoff. We've got plenty of opportunities to get in there. And right now, I feel like there's a handful of SEC teams that definitely have a chance to fight that fight.
And then the only other one we haven't hit on, again, we did the live show, so we kind of hit all, we talked all about it. But Auburn beat Baylor 38-24. Shane, that's fantastic. And again, they proved me wrong, made me look like a damn fool. So the fact that Alabama is kind of, on the struggle bus, the fact that Oklahoma, again, it was one opponent, Illinois State. We'll judge Oklahoma more about what they do against Michigan. But I don't know. Maybe everything Cousin Shane was saying about Auburn all offseason is right. That old Auburn, suddenly they look like a real contender out of the SEC, don't you think?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I know Emily does. She was over on the beach talking about this game, and now she's getting to watch her team finally show up. And I think that's important because when Auburn is back, it makes everything interesting because they have so many. I mean, their schedule alone is, I mean, you got Alabama. I mean, Alabama may, who knows? I just told you not to panic. They may bounce back, but now they need that Iron Bowl. And if that doesn't happen, they're probably left out. You know, let's just say hypothetically they lose to Georgia and then win out. Not saying it's going to happen, but if they do, now that game got a lot more interesting. Georgia, I mean, who knows? Georgia looked great against Marshall, but apparently the whole team, the herd, as you would say, has moved to a different roster. So
they migrated.
So maybe we're getting a little too excited about those Georgia Bulldogs. There's so much that can happen right now. And I feel like Auburn is sitting pretty, man, sitting pretty. I like the progress that they made in this game. So, yes, I think Auburn fans should be excited.
All right, and then we've got also, Shane, we've got some opening lines that we always like to hit on, and we got quite a few games here, so I'm going to save the best for the last, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Speaking of Alabama, they're playing Monroe, Shane. What do you think the opening line, Louisiana Monroe, at the losing Alabama? What do you think the spread is here?
It's a pick 'em, right? No, I'd say Bama 28-37. I don't know about that.
That probably says more about Monroe than it does Bama.
Yeah.
All right. How about A&M, Shane, playing Utah State at home?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the opening spread is?
Give me A&M 23.5.
29.5. Can the Aggies score that many? I don't know. How about Texas, Shane? Do they get off the schneid with San Jose State? What do you think the spread is?
42.
Oh, you're getting closer. 36.
Oh, geez.
They really don't believe in Arch anymore, do they?
They gave up on him, huh? Is this thing even televised?
How about Auburn, Shane, playing Ball State at home? What do you think the spread is?
Give me 33.
44. More love for Auburn. How about that? I'm telling you, Auburn's maybe the best damn team in the country. But if they're not, Shane, it's LSU. LSU hosting Louisiana Tech. What do you think the spread is?
I'd say LSU 41.
Oh, very close. 38.
Okay, I'm feeling
it. They're pulling the starters in the fourth. They're taking into account there. How about the battle for Arkansas? Arkansas hosting Arkansas State in Little Rock. So it's a little different, but what do you think the spread is there?
27.5.
22.
Shit. They know who the coach is, right? Y'all Arkansas, y'all better win this game. Do it for them Vols.
Now, hey, what could be one of the more intriguing games now that was not on the radar for a lot of people, Shane? South Florida at Florida. Anybody that missed it, South Florida whooped Boise. And again, Boise's probably not that good, but they were ranked in the top 25. So what do you think, South Florida at Florida? What's the spread, Shane?
I would say 17.
Oh, you about nailed it. 19. Mm.
It could be a good game.
South
that could
Florida
be a
favorite.
Sneaky good game.
I'm just kidding. South Florida's not favorite. All right, how about this one, Shane? Arizona State at Mississippi State. What's the spread? And I just give you a little hint. This is the only hint I'm going to give you.
Yeah.
It's closer than I thought.
Oh. 1.5 for Arizona State?
Oh, I shouldn't have given you a hint. It's 7.
7. Oh, okay.
But I was thinking it would be like fucking at least 10, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought.
No, absolutely. That's going to be a good game.
All right. How about this one, Shane? I know you're dying to see it. Kansas at Missouri. What's the spread?
I'd say Mizzou 13.5.
6.5. And I think it's been bet down to 5.5. These are the opening lines I'm giving you.
Yeah, let it go. Let it come on down. It gives us plenty of time to use promo code SEC over at MyBookie.
All right, how about the first conference game of the season, Shane? Ole Miss at Kentucky, revenge game. What's the opening spread?
Ole Miss 23.
9.
Damn. Okay. They know something I don't.
There's no easy games in this conference, Shane. Not on the road. No. Just be aware.
Yeah.
And then maybe the game of the week, Shane, College Game Day is going to be down there. Michigan at Oklahoma. Michigan and their star quarterback barely beat New Mexico. We all respect New Mexico as a football program.
Yeah.
What's the spread here, you think?
Oklahoma 1.5.
5.5.
Okay. But Oklahoma?
Yeah. So that money material, baby, they're buying into them. You know what?
Oh, let me give you my Venmo account real quick.
All right. So, hey, that's all I got on this show. Man, we have had a wild, wild weekend. And you're right. I mean, it's so much fun. It's a little exhausting going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Nah. You know what?
Listen to us complaining about too much football. What's that mean? Hey, shout out to all the cousins that did show up this weekend. And more importantly, for today's show, JP has put the list together. So today's shout outs go to B Creepy, Steven Up, Emily Powell, Schween, War Dam, Ohio, MIZKU Forever, Swamp Talk with Anthony, VFL Smokey, Jerry Withrow, J Becky's 24, Real Wicked Brew, Coach Byer, Cousin JR, Bronson Gambrel, Wolfgang, Firefly Funhouse, Brandon Riley, Hugh Freeze, Butt Dial, Moosey, and thank you all, cousins, appreciate you. Those donations do help out tremendously, and I tell you what, football is back. It's never been more back, and I am absolutely excited about the games moving forward, because it just feels like now that we got that one over, now we got week one under, it feels like week two. Now this is the time, like, okay, maybe we lost this game, but we can't lose this one, you know? Maybe this is our guy taking that next step forward. I'm looking forward to all that great action, and make sure you have those notifications on, because if something crazy happens during the week, we will be sure to go live and let you guys know.
Hey, final question. I love this one, Shane. Magic 8-Ball, more impressive win, Tennessee, he put some caps, South Carolina, or Auburn? For me, I think it's Auburn on the road.
Yeah.
Better opponent.
I say Auburn, Tennessee, then South Carolina. I just feel like Auburn was a big one because, I mean, hell, a lot of people thought they could lose that one. Tennessee was impressive for me just because, again, I thought that would have been a close football game. Really wasn't. I mean, Tennessee manhandled those boys, and I thought that was impressive. And then, and I'm not like saying South Carolina wasn't. South Carolina had a tough football game as well. I think Virginia Tech's better than folks were saying coming into the season. And hell, they got the job done, and that's all that matters. So all impressive wins, but that's the order I'd put it.
And they're all going to get better, Shane, in week two because of that big win they got, debut, not playing a cupcake. Yes. Playing difficult games, all of them, away from home. It's just going to make them better. Just like it's going to make you better, Shane. So we appreciate you, buddy. We appreciate each and every one of you. Stay locked in. Morning hangover. I think there may be an afternoon show as well. And Steven will be back. Oh, buddy, you better believe I'm going to hammer Steven on his Arch Manning Texas love. So be locked in. We're actually, I probably should have mentioned this a long time ago. We're going to start 30 minutes early because Steven's got to cover the Bill Belichick game. So 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central tomorrow night. We'll be back. We appreciate each and every one of you. Catch you on the next one.
All right. Bye-bye. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.